get weak in the knees. You got the kind of moves that make a girl be saying please. I hope that I can keep up with you. You got that need for speed. Yeah.
When I pull up to the club in my
Welcome back to the Movie Draft House. I'm your host, Mark, joined by co-host Jeff.
Yo, baby. Oh, man, I don't even have to hold my desk up anymore. It's just, I don't know. I'm trying to make a joke.
I missed an opportunity.
Being aroused.
Every time we're together, I'm aroused.
Don't blame you.
I miss an opportunity to introduce us as Verhoeven chronologically.
Yeah.
However,
are we out of order? We're out of order. Because this movie's older than the one we watched last week.
You're right. Correct. We're just a Verhoeven podcast for the month of July.
That's also false. For the first half.
For the first half, yes, correct. Anyways, welcome back to the Movie Draft House. And before we get into what we watched this week, we're going to give a shout out to some music. The music you heard at the top of the podcast is Sex Brews. They are a satirical pop band from Charleston, South Carolina. And the song you heard was Ford Taurus. Jeff, what do you think of the Sex Brews?
Oh, man. The only thing that gives me more flamed on, if I were the Human Torch.
Flame dong?
Sure.
Flame min.
I enjoyed the film.
Filet min dong.
Yes.
Hey, just so you all know, we're live and in person, but via remote.
Yeah.
Here on the video channels, and you can see in my. In my feed, I got Beam riding a motorcycle with Raju.
Oh my gosh!
God, they're so good.
That's
I love
just
them.
Like it makes me happy to see it.
Anyways, if you want to hit the show notes, you can get all of Sex Brews' social media. Throw them a like, a follow, and a subscribe. We are pleased to funnel more ears to their tracks. Jeff.
Yes, sir.
What did we watch this week?
This week, my friend, when it comes to erotic thrillers, because we are in the midst of erotic thriller month, when
and
it comes to
coming.
Erotic yes. What you okay. didn't hear as me making a face at the camera, as I said. Anyway, when it comes to erotic thrillers, there are a handful that come immediately to mind. Yes, come. The first being Fatal Attraction, and then Basic Instinct. So we watch Basic Instinct from 1992, directed by back-to-back director extraordinaire Paul Verhoeven, starring Michael Douglas, Sharon Stone, and some other people.
Jeanne
Triplehorn. Liliani Sorella.
Nobody else in this.
There's some other people who I recognize.
You're right.
I mean, Dennis Nedry's in here. Wayne Knight, you know,
Wayne
also
Knight,
known as
right. Yeah.
Newman.
Stephen Tobolowsky.
Yes, Needle Nose Ned, Ned the Head, Ned Ryerson. Stephen Tobolowsky is in here as well.
Yeah. So, you had never seen this movie.
So
right?
I went into it having not seen it, but. There are several beats to this film that I felt hit that nostalgia or hit something in my brain where I'm like, maybe I did see this. Remember when we watched Cursed and we were both yeah. like, I think I might have watched this. I'm right. not sure. And that's kind of what happened here. Now, I think at the end of the day, I had not watched it because there were several beats, very important beats that were lost to me. I didn't know who the killer was. I didn't know the finale, but there are certain scenes that I'm very familiar with, and they tend to be around graphic nudity. that I've seen many times outside of the context of the rest of the film.
Yeah, so I had never seen this film, and I'd always heard, you know, oh, this is wild. This, you know, and for 1992, I guess this film is
it blew people's tits off. I mean, there's
right,
Bush
right.
And
I mean, it's
Dong.
Groundbreaking, right? Wait, there's Dong? Did I miss Dong?
Well, so there's the dead guy at the beginning of the movie. He's all dead and stabbed up, and his junk is hanging out. So.
Oh, I
there is
that.
Dong. It's not like
damn it
the good kind. It's the dead kind.
Damn it, so. Necrophilia Dong.
Yeah, we don't support that here on the pod.
We don't although support necrophilia.
It's probably
let's
in
put
your
the
search
disclaimer
history
out there. It's not. That's one thing I can
try
just
to get
like
me to watch that Turtleborn.
I can put up on the wall and say I've never watched this. And it's people having sex with dead bodies. But. Yeah, I'd Ooh. Never so I mean erotic thrillers. That's it brings out the best in all.
Yeah.
I had never seen this film, and honestly, I had seen some like scenes with Sharon Stone from this film, but like I didn't remember much
the
of it.
The Lake Crossing being number one, right? Everybody knows or has probably seen the leg crossing interview scene.
Yeah, and she knows she doesn't wear underwear, so it's...
You get little fuzz.
You're right, it's a good scene.
Which is interesting to me that that's the standout scene, the one that everybody talks about, the one that's been parodied a bunch. And the rest of the film, there are much more explicit scenes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it just kind of found it funny that this is the one that it was, oh, my gosh. And if you watch it now, it's not tame, but it's kind of tame compared to the rest of the film. Like, but
it's certainly a more subtle moment in this film.
I think the big thing about that scene is how it's shot and the lighting and like it's this gray room and it's, you know, it's very official and
it's a room full of men with this one woman. It's very, on the nose.
So have you ever seen a film called Loaded Weapon 1?
No.
It's a fantastic parody film. And it parodies this movie as well as... what's the Mel Gibson one? Lethal Weapon. And it parodies those movies, and it parodies this one pretty well. And I think there's other parodies from other things I've seen. And so a lot of the scenes of this movie were things I'm like... I know that, but it could be from some comedy I can't remember.
I had never, and like this film, very popular back in the early 90s from what I've read and remember. I mean, I was 9 years old when this movie came out. And so
you didn't go right out to see it?
I did not.
8 or 9?
I caught it probably on the VHS. But actually I didn't catch on the VHS cause I've never seen it, but, I remember my aunt, so my aunt and uncle had a library of movies. And I'd always
porn
go over
stash,
to their,
as we called it in my day,
there was probably a few of those but they were not shy about, you know, their movie collection, big bookcases on the wall in their
VHS,
like,
I take it.
Yeah. Family room, but bookshelves like from the floor to the ceiling, just full of movies. And they had a checkout system because everybody came over to their house to check out, you know, just to see what the new movies were and what they had. And they check it out and they had a little, you know, cool clipboard.
Their own register.
With some,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was very cool. I mean, I'd go over there, you know, a couple times a month, and I'd grab like 5 movies, and it'd be shit I'd like never seen it.
Around
it was,
that age, I would have probably shoplifted from their house. I was big into shoplifting at the time. I would have shown up at a giant Starter Sonics jacket and just cleaned that place out. Just to be honest.
but like I remember seeing this movie on their in their collection. And like I you know, I take the VHS tape, and you know the covers on the VHSs, you know, always very cool. It just slid right in and slid right out.
Yeah.
You know, Michael Douglas was jealous.
Slid in and out.
Yeah, yeah. But it like never, like I remember reading the back of it. I was probably 12, maybe, and just being like, "Oh, this sounds boring," and putting it back on the shelf. And it
appeal to someone who's 9, right? Like,
right.
It, there's no cartoons. There's no Ninja Turtles. You would have looked at it, not known any better, and just, and plus 9 is like pre-puberty, and you
right.
Just,
yeah, but then as a teenager, you know, getting into my older adolescence, you know, I started to hear, oh, this is a crazy movie from the early 90s, and man, you know, Sharon Stone, she's a fox, and this and that, and I looked at some pictures of Sharon Stone recently, and she's still kind of a fox.
I'm wondering, like, if she's could be on the verge of a comeback. Unfortunately, she did the Catwoman film as the main villain, you know, across from Halle Berry, and it was truly
terrible.
I've
never seen it, and
one of the worst. Anytime someone tells me, like, the Chris Evans Fantastic Four or Fantastic, the more recent one.
They're like,
those are the worst. I'm like, no, bro. The worst comic movie of all time is Catwoman. It's
horrible.
We'll watch it one day.
Oh, God. But, like, this movie never, like, it never really got on my radar to, like, be like, hey, I want to sit down and watch this movie. Now, let me ask you, having watched this film, did you enjoy it?
You broke up a bit.
Oh, did I break up? Did you enjoy the film?
I you're breaking up still, but I think you asked me if I enjoyed the film.
Yeah, and that's what I asked
did.
You. I
it's breaking up. I don't know what to tell you. Okay,
I don't know what.
Keep it in.
There's
all right. We're recording locally, so the people listening won't hear any breaking up. But I'm losing Mark on that side of things, and it's okay. Now, he asked me if I enjoyed the film. I did. I very much enjoyed the movie. It was the opposite of boring. There was no point in the movie where I was like, come on. Like, it just kept adding twists and turns. You didn't know who was evil, who was not, who the killer is. It kept me guessing. And I thought the finale of the film was really strong. And I think that it, you know, sometimes when you watch a movie, you're glad it's over. And then sometimes you watch a movie and you're still thinking about it. And you can't, or maybe you can't place an emotional state you're in. And you're like, oh, no, I think it's because that movie is still sitting with me. And I kind of felt that way. But I've and again, it's easier for me to get into movies from the 90s than it is for you, because I tend to have a little nostalgia bug, and you know, Michael Douglas in the 90s was the king of this genre, and seeing him on screen doing butt in the moonbeam walks, to quote Loaded Weapon 1, a film you should watch, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did enjoy.
Okay,
can you hear me?
Yes, I thought you were gonna say, I was gonna ask you if you enjoyed it.
Yeah. I did, and one of the biggest things I enjoyed about this film was that it constantly keeps you guessing if you know who it is. And it very, like, right out the gate, you know, puts a magnifying glass over Sharon Stone's character, Catherine Trammell. But it goes out of its way to actually, like, tell you, hey, she fits the, everything about her fits.
It's kind of like what I will dub the reverse red herring effect, which, spoilers for the original Scream, I think Scream has done better than anyone, which is where they make the killer so obvious that you're like, it can't be that one.
Right.
They're trying way too hard to make me believe it. And I think this movie kind of does that. It's like everything adds up to Sharon Stone being the bad guy. And so there's no way that can be it. That can't be it.
Well, and the film very quickly establishes that Michael Douglas is an anti-hero character. He's a terrible human being. But you know, he is good at his job. And
is he? I mean,
by the end of the film, maybe not.
Right out of the gate, you're going to fall in love with me and you're going to get killed. Like, she tells him right up front, and he's still like, whatever, lady. And then he does everything she says, like falls right in line.
Yeah. And, you know, he's a douchebag. He's a criminal. He is unethical and immoral. It's just he is the typical bad guy in an early 90s film. However, he's protagonist the here. Right. There was one scene in this film that, like, I was like, oh, Jeff's gonna hate this. And do you know what scene I'm talking about?
Where, no.
Okay. It's where, the psych doctor, Jan Triplehorn, shows up at his apartment, and, you know, they're kind of making out, whatnot. And then, you know, he's kind of getting rough with her, and she says no.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she says no multiple times, and he proceeds to rape her.
But then she's like, into it too,
right?
Like, it wasn't even I stop at that point, right? Oh, I've overstepped, I apologize. But he's like,
I'm so sorry,
keeps going. And she at some point goes over a threshold to like, oh, I'm enjoying this. And it made me wonder, in the past, had they had this sort of discussion of maybe this is a fantasy of hers to be roughed up a little. And if they have that discussion beforehand and they're consenting adults, no problems, right?
Yeah, but then she says, you've never been rough with me like that.
Right afterwards, she's like, you've never done that with me before. And she did seem to kind of like it. But you, like, her initial reaction was, no, stop, don't. But after two no's, she was like, you know what? This is great, because she starts sucking his fingers and shit. It was a bit weird.
But he's a three-pump chump.
He's a one-pump chump in that scene. He goes, and it's over. laying there.
But, like, it was a weird scene, and I didn't know how to feel about it.
I didn't either. I agree.
It's because here's a little personal insight for you. You know, I'm a police officer.
Yes, I knew that.
And I am so there's a program called RAD, R-A-D.
Rape Aggression. Against Dirty Elders.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that'd be RAID. RAID, R-A-D-E.
Oh, maybe. RAD with two dads.
No, it's just
R-A-D. Republicans Against Digital Downloads.
That is probably on the upcoming ballot. 2024, vote for the person who's gonna let you download whatever you want. Rape Aggression Defense. It's a self-defense course for women, and you have to go through more than 40 hours of training to get certified in it, all this. Anyways, I'm an instructor, a RAD instructor, R-A-D.
Sure are. And you come in with your hat on backwards. You got your Hawaiian shirt on.
How you do, fellow kids?
He's rad, and that sucked. I apologize. Go ahead. I'm going to shut up for a while.
Anyways. The primary focus of this of these class, and it's a nearly a week-long class. Almost, 18 hours of self-defense instruction. And like it's programmed my brain to identify when a woman is backing up and telling somebody, no, actually, I don't, I'm good. I don't need this. I don't want it.
Yeah, I get that.
And so
I'm like, hey, I'd like to order. No, thanks. You can leave.
I don't need this.
I don't need
get
your
out
money.
Of here.
I don't want your money. I can't have you in my store anymore. Please leave. So
put your pants back on and leave.
But that's usually the main problem.
But so like I've been teaching this course for, you know, a couple of years, and I'm not the only one that does it. I mean, there's plenty of cops out
lots
there.
Lots of
do
rad,
it, but,
rad dudes.
Rad cops. But it's just like everything that about that scene was like, oh my God. I'm like, no. No, she said no.
Yeah.
Get out. Get it. No. Get say goodnight and go. Leave. But like you said, she then like just like kind of implies that she's enjoying it. And
right. And like I said, had they had
a weird
thing before where that their relationship that was like, you can get rough, you can do these things, here's my safe word. Okay, right?
But
no problem. It in that moment, she did not want to have happen what was happening. And then she started to like it. And I guess it's maybe the filmmakers saying, okay, maybe we're making this guy a little too bad, right? We still want you to kind of be following him a little bit, right? At least on board somewhat with what's happening. And if you make him a full-blown rapist, you've lost the audience, I think. At that point, you're just like, I hope this guy dies.
I just think that scene, it's a weird scene to either A, say, hey, these two have a complicated relationship, or B, that he's only interested in her for sex, or he's only interested in anybody for sex. And,
oh, he really is.
Right.
This guy sucks. But he knows how to pull them, right? Like all his partners are these fat guys. They resemble me, I'm going to be honest. And they're all like mad at him and shit, but I think they're just mad because it's like all his girlfriends are smoke shows and he looks like someone's dad. So one of the moments in the film that made me laugh, maybe unintentionally, is she's like, they meet up. I can't remember for what, whatever. And then she's like, hey, come to the club tonight. I'm going to be clubbing, doing dancing and doing bumps of cocaine while making out with two other people in the bathroom.
Right.
And so he shows up there and I'm like, this guy is out of place. He feels like someone's dad. Like he is not.
Well, it doesn't help that Michael Douglas is like 55 in this film.
Right. And he's like a billion right now. But I did feel like he was out of place in that building. Like it was like, and she was even maybe a little too old for that scene, but whatever. But
who,
he was way
Stone?
Too old for it. I don't know. It's hard to.
I think so. Out of everybody in this film, I think Sharon Stone is the glue that holds it all together, both from a visual standpoint and from a character acting standpoint, is because she is just eating shit up.
Yeah, she's killing it
at every point
no
in this
pun
film.
Intended.
And I really enjoy now, and I'm not a big Sharon Stone fan, so I've this is like maybe the third film I've ever seen her in.
Catwoman, Sliver, and now Basic Instinct. I think that's about it.
I've seen Sliver, but I don't remember her in that movie. So
it's she's the main character. It's not a great film.
But it's, at the same time, like she is magnetic, and Michael Douglas is kind of the opposite. It's just like, oh God, this guy.
He's repulsive.
Right.
Yeah.
And
I still love him.
Like,
I still think his performance is awesome. Like you're not really supposed to be on board with him anyway, but I still like both him and Sharon Stone in this. I think they're both killing it.
And so I went back and looked at Jeanne Triplehorn's filmography, and this was, I think, one of her first or second like feature film. And she is naked right off the get. And like, she just like fades away in her filmography, like after this film. She has a couple other movies. I would classify them as B movies. Never seen any of them. Never heard of them. And then, she's just gone. Just gone. She tits and ass out there in Basic Instinct, and then nothing. You would think that for like somebody, and she's a good looking lady, somebody that is just, she is a main character in this film. And like first or second film ever. And, you know, Paul Verhoeven is directing, and he's like, listen, lady, I just directed RoboCop. I know what I'm talking about. Get naked. And she's like, okay, Paul.
I don't know where this is going, but okay. This is a lot of hypotheticals.
I'm just imagining this is how the conversation went. And then she turns out to be the villain. The movie makes her into the villain.
Oh yeah. But she's not.
But the movie implies that she is.
But she's not. Right? They imply that she is, but then at the end, I think it's established that she's not.
I don't think so.
Okay. So here's what I think happened. So spoilers for the whole thing. Basically, there's people who've been stabbed to death and they're trying to find the killer, and he thinks it's Sharon Stone, but now he's dating Sharon Stone, and she has a way of convincing him that it's actually this woman he's dating. And there's a whole bunch of webs of lies and things like that coming together. It's a good movie. It's a really fun watch. But in the end, one of his partners gets killed, and he defends himself against who he thinks is trying to kill him, which is his girlfriend. So he shoots her and she dies. And then they go through.
He takes a while to shoot her too.
Well, he doesn't want to.
But then he does anyway. It's like, why
they start
just
finding things in her house, right? So they go to her house and they find the gun that killed the cop, this other cop. They find all kinds of like things of her stalking Sharon Stone and things like that. So if you've ever seen the film Minority Report, Colin Farrell's in that movie, and he goes into a place and he finds what he refers to as an orgy of evidence. And I think that's what they find in her house, is all of this stuff that incriminates her, but it's just so much of it that it feels planted to me, right? The gun was planted there, all of the different magazine cutouts and things that indicate she was stalking this person. I think that, and Sharon Stone shows in this film, she knows how to get into places without keys. She many times just is in Michael Douglas's apartment. So
she doesn't wear underwear.
Yes, she doesn't wear underwear. I don't know where she keeps the lockpicks, but she's able to get
in. I know.
And so
I use my imagination.
I'm sure you do. I'm glad we're in separate houses. So at the end of the film, so like at the opening of the movie, there's a sex scene and a guy gets stabbed to death with an ice pick by a person whose face you don't really see. You see everything else, just not the face. And at the end of the movie is Michael Douglas and Sharon Stone sort of getting down in the same way. And she goes to reach in the same way the person did in the opening scene, but it's a fake out. It's fine. No killing or murdering. And you see her reaching down by the side of the bed, and they talk about, you know, what do we do now that we're together? And he's like, well, we have sex like rabbits and have kids. And she's like, I don't want kids. He's like, fine, we don't have to have kids. We'll just have sex like rabbits. And something in her brain clicks, and she's like, okay. And they make out a little more, and the movie's over. But it pans down, and there's an ice pick under the bed that she's placed there. So my belief is that she's been the killer the whole time. She's manipulated the whole situation. She has framed the girlfriend to take the fall. And that's my opinion of what has happened here.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, everything points to her, and then the end of the movie kind of just sums it up.
The ice pick under the bed is what is like, okay, this is what happened.
Yeah, right. And I agree. I do agree that, yes, she is the likely killer behind everything. I just thought the film does a very good job of you know, taking you down avenues that, like, for originally, like, halfway through the movie, I'm like, oh, her, Sharon Stone's girlfriend did it, for sure.
Right. She is another red herring, yeah.
Her name's Roxy. And
so, like, when she comes on screen, I'm getting memories of this scene where he realizes that Roxy's the real killer and he has to go there to save Sharon Stone. And that's not in the movie. I don't know where that came from, but in my brain, I'm like, at that moment, I was like, I have seen this. She's the real killer. I remember now, but I was wrong. So it just kept me guessing. That's why I liked it. Maybe why I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah. And then when, you know, the whole car chase scene about three quarters of the way through, it's revealed that, you know, Roxy is driving the car and, you know, she's dead after she'd crashed the car. I'm like, well, shit. I thought it was her. And then, like, they go down the avenue of, okay, it's the shrink, it's the police psych.
Yeah, his doctor. Girlfriend.
And I'm like, I don't buy that. Even though there's breadcrumbs left along the way of just, you know, like, little exposition stuff that, you know, she's like, oh, yeah, me and, you know, Sharon Stone went to high school together. Or,
her,
you know,
real
I
name
just do,
comes out.
Right. And it just, so I did appreciate how well done the story is laid out in all of these attempts to get the viewer to guess at who is the actual killer. I just, very well done, in my opinion. And it really you hit the theme on the head.
This was easy.
The eroticism.
This is a low-hanging fruit when it comes to hitting the theme. This movie and Fatal Attraction define the genres. Like, if you want to know what an erotic thriller is, you just watch those two movies. You're like, I get it. Both of them have Michael Douglas. That's all you need. And we're not done with Michael Douglas this month. But I got to ask you a question that I forgot to ask at the beginning of the show. Is this movie cold, warm, or hot? Gotta hit that T. Hot,
for sure. It's hot.
Oh, it's hot.
We're snapping our fingers back because it's hot.
I burnt my hands. It's too hot.
I'm licking my fingers before I touch something.
It's hot. Yes.
Yeah. No. This film is. It was so far. Probably. I imagine it was so far ahead of its time in '92.
Yeah.
That. You know, that people were going to church and repenting for
seeing
what they had seen.
Yeah.
And it just, I appreciate films that push the envelope of how the establishment is of things. Like, I don't know what films came before this in the erotic thriller genre.
Basic Instinct. Fatal Attraction. Fatal Attraction was first. Fatal Attraction is the genesis of the genre.
Okay, so
have you
Basic
seen it?
Instinct? No, I haven't seen
it. Gotta go watch it. Oh, it's good. Well, I'll figure out a way to squeeze it in. Michael Douglas month.
Wait, aren't we watching that?
No, we're watching Disclosure. I've never seen Disclosure.
Okay.
I've seen Fatal Attraction somewhat recently, which is why I didn't pick it.
Okay. Well, anyways, it seems like you know, Mr. Verhoeven wanted to do something that kind of expanded on this new genre of things. If Fatal Attraction was kind of the guinea pig, you know, he wanted to do something that was going to bring this more mainstream, this type of movie more mainstream, nudity on screen more mainstream.
Yeah, baby.
Because it's nonstop in this film. And, I mean, just people with tits hanging out. For no
just
reason.
Like at the grocery store.
The tits are out, and I'm just like, put your tits away, lady.
Don't you know who's watching this? A 9-year-old.
A child present.
Borrowed it from his aunt and uncle.
But I very much enjoyed the story here and how it was pieced together and the fact that it kept you guessing. I did not enjoy Michael Douglas in the film. I just kind of thought he was meh. They could have gotten a number of different 90s male actors and it probably would have been the same.
I disagree, but that's fine.
I mean, yeah, right. I mean, who? I mean,
because there's something unlikable about Michael Douglas.
Okay.
And just in general, like, I mean, not as a human being, but the characters he portrays, he's known for this, right? And I think, like, whether it's Wall Street or Fatal Attraction or this, or the Dial M for Murder remake, Perfect Murder, it's just kind of his shtick, and you get this guy to do that thing. So I think he adds to the film. I don't think you can just swap him out with Danny DeVito and make it work.
Listen, if Danny DeVito was in this
book, I will watch that. I will watch a Danny DeVito erotic thriller.
You imagine Danny DeVito being this like hotshot dude, and he's going around just nailing chicks.
Just pulling left and right.
Yeah, it's... I that's probably the greatest porn parody I can think of for the 90s. Just Dan, not even Dan DeVito, but some smaller stature dude that is not attractive at all. Just banging hot chicks.
Yep.
I'm just saying. Like,
that month is coming soon. Short statured... Playboys.
Unattractive dudes.
Short stature, unattractive playboys. Let's do it.
All right. Jeff, do you recommend this one?
Hell yeah. I went into it not sure how it was going to feel. It's thrilling. It's fun. It's sexy. It's what you go into the film for, and it delivers on every level. It's what you want to watch.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the film. For an early 90s film, I think, man, it was...
Listen, let's stop. Because I hear your tone. Okay.
Yeah.
And I know where this bullshit is going. But let's think about it for a second. This is a movie from the 90s. Early 90s.
Yes.
That you enjoyed. It kept you guessing. Thrilled you all the way through. It was sexy. 100%. And we're in the middle of erotic thriller month.
Okay. All right, I recommend it.
And you don't like movies from the 90s, and you like this.
No, I like movies from the 90s.
You
it's
don't,
the 80s.
Don't
it's the
fuck
80s
with
where
me,
we,
bro.
Get,
no,
we get
yeah,
kind of
no.
we kind of in the weeds of what I don't like and what I like.
Yeah.
The 90s, man, we're ascending in the pantheon of great films. Yeah, I'm gonna recommend this one. It's I think it's well done. Like I said, there's a ton of tits and ass, even some bush, even some dong that I missed.
Yeah, you missed the dong, but
yeah, dead man dong.
Dead man dong. Rest in peace. Gone too soon, dead man dong.
R.I.P.
Oh, dead man dong.
Anyways, Jeff, what are we watching next?
I don't know. You picked this crap. It's called The Voyeurs. I don't what is this shit?
Yeah, so from 2021, we're going to watch The Voyeurs. It is an Amazon original movie.
Oh boy, that bodes well.
What so you can shit? It's got it's
Justice
stars
Smith, Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah, Justice Smith, Sydney Sweeney, and then a bunch of other people. But I am a big Justice Smith fan. And I think he's a very good, very likable on-screen presence in most.
I like them in that
done.
Pokemon movie.
Yeah, Detective Pikachu. That is.
Yeah, that was a good movie. Well, it was an enjoyable movie.
It was enjoyable. I like Ryan Reynolds as a wisecracking Pikachu. It's like if Deadpool
best,
got trapped in
it's
Pikachu.
It's the best Pokemon film. As someone who's only watched one, being Detective Pikachu.
Good.
I'm watching the trailer for this Voyeurs, and I think the theme is going to be good and secure next week.
Let's go. Anyways, we want to give a shout out to the music again this month. Brought to you by
Sex Brews.
The satirical pop band Sex Brews from Charleston, South Carolina, with their song Ford Taurus. Make sure you hit the show notes down below if you're watching on YouTube.
Is that
I just pointed down below.
You did.
So I pointed down below my screen. Make sure you hit the show notes. You can find all the links to their socials. Throw them a like, a follow, or subscribe. They're doing big things, and we want to show them some love. If you want to follow the podcast on Twitter, you can find us at Movie Draft House. Throw us some suggestions for themes, suggestions for music for the month, any movies you think that we should fit a theme around. Listen, you just throw the suggestions, and we'll wade through them. You can also find us on YouTube at Movie Draft House, where you can watch all of our shenanigans in video form. If you want to follow Jeff and tell him, hey, Paul Verhoeven deserves a chronological.
I already said he's
season.
On the list.
He should be jumping to the top.
It.
He should be like, listen, after Shyamalan. Shyamalama Ding Dong, you should be like, I mean, we're neck and neck with some of the greatest here, okay? You know, you discovered a diamond in the rough, if you will, of directors to base a season three around, or season four around. Yeah. So anyways, you can follow Jeff on Twitter at Podcast by Jeff. He's got all the links to all his different podcasts there.
Yeah, and if you want to get in touch with Mark and be like, hey, man, lighten up a bit. You can recommend things you like. It's okay. You can head over to I Heard You Like on Twitter and, you know, say the things I said to you to say to him.
Say the things you said to me. Yeah, so next week we're going to watch The Voyeurs. And
it's going to be good.
It's going to be good. Jeff, do you have any words of wisdom?
Well, she got the magnum cum laude pussy on her that done fried up your brain. That's my quote. Goodbye.
On the track, make it feel like pulling out in the Taurus in the moonlight. Windows down, that midnight. Women looking like deer in headlights. Ford Taurus, 99. Power windows, yeah, right. Heated seats, now that's just a natural side effect of the engine. When it gets a bit too high for these fine ladies, my other cars, Mercedes. All my clothes from Old Navy, and I max out at about 80. Bitch, I got 15-inch hubcaps. CD player, fuck yeah. Riding dirty, need a car wash. I'm spaced out like astronauts. Now believe if the thief saw this car sitting in a parking lot, that he'd walk on by without a second thought. But that's fine with me, cause I ain't into keeping these doors locked. I'll flip you off in bad traffic, cut you off like a bad habit. Bumper stickers, I got 15 on my back window, I can barely see, but
I don't know if you're into me or just my car.
Ooh, I swear I love you, baby.
I don't know if you're inside of me or inside my car.
Oh, I'm not sure what you mean.
Just wanna fuck, yeah.